Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message entitled Wandering, Israel Takes a Wrong Turn. We'll look ahead to this week's message as Joshua leads the Israelite nation into the Promised Land. And I'll look a little bit deeper at this idea of being salt and light in this world that we started last week. Without further ado, let's get right to it. Last week, we took a deeper look at Israel as they came up to the Promised Land and what they did. Well, we saw that Israel came up to the Promised Land and Moses selected 12 men, one from each of the tribes, to go into the Promised Land and take a look. Well, after 40 days, they returned with this message. All of them agreed that indeed this land was flowing with milk and honey and had many of the things, all of the things, in fact, that God had promised. But they also noticed there was going to be stiff resistance. There was large people, maybe even giants, that roamed the land, and this certainly would have caused anybody to have a little bit of fear. 10 of the men, in fact, said, "There's no way we can do this. They are too big, there's too numerous, and too much of a challenge." But 2 men, Caleb and Joshua, saw the same thing and said, "Yes, they are indeed big, but God has promised us this land, and because He and when He is with us, we will be able to take it." And so they talked about it, and what ended up happening was the large part of the majority of the people decided that they couldn't do it, and they said, "No, we can't do it." And because of this, God became very angry. In fact, He wanted to punish them greatly, but Moses stepped in and said, "God, please have compassion on them, forgive them." And He said, "Indeed, I will forgive them of the sin, but nobody over the age of 20 will ever be allowed to see the Promised Land." In fact, He would send them out on a journey, a road trip, if you will, for 40 years, wandering in the wilderness. And during this time, all of the adults, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua, over the age of 20, would in fact die. Yes, even Moses and Aaron would not see the Promised Land. See, Moses had this time when he was told to lift up his staff and say the words, and God would provide the dearly needed water. Well, Moses was frustrated with the Israelites and their unbelief, and in fact, he picked up the staff and tapped and smacked the rock, and water came out, saying that we had brought water. Well, this sin against God prevented even Moses from going in to the Promised Land. Well, after 40 years, we saw that they ended up back in the same spot that they were in 40 years prior, and Moses got to see the Promised Land. And over this 40 years, he used this opportunity to train up the next generation to be able to go into the Promised Land and fulfill all God had promised. And so we left this story there. Moses had passed away, Joshua had been tapped as the new leader, and he was going to lead the Israelite nation into the Promised Land. This Sunday, we'll be looking at what happens. Joshua, in fact, leads this nation into the Promised Land. The title of the message is "The Battle Begins," because we realized that there was going to have to be war to eradicate the sinful nations that currently inhabited the Promised Land. As part of this, Joshua was going to be addressing the people about 3 things. In fact, this is what was necessary for the people of the Lord to follow God fully. The first was that they had to be people of His book, of His law. And we see this in the beginning of Joshua chapter 1. We also see that they are to be a people of prayer or following after the Lord. And this we see in Joshua chapter 3, when God spoke to Joshua and gave them marching orders, and in fact, they listened. This was also seen as they would follow the Ark of the Covenant that was taken ahead of them into battle, into entering this Promised Land. And finally, they had to be people that identified with God. If you remember back, the Israelite nation had to enter into a covenant with God when they first came out of Egypt, and this involved circumcision, the circumcision of the male part of the race. This was an identification. It's something that set them apart unto God. Well, fast forward 40 years, and all of the men that were there had not been circumcised. So they had to do this as well, in a way to identify with God. Well, the battle begins and many miracles occurred, including the stopping of the water of the Jordan as they were able to cross into the promised land. There was also battles. 5 kings were defeated in the south and 14 kings would be defeated in the north. And this would lead to Israel having conquered the land. Well, you may be wondering, why in the world would God ask his people to do this? Why would he ask them to take a promised land and then to eradicate the other people that lived here? And really, there's 2 big reasons we'll look at Sunday. The first is that God needed to eradicate the wickedness, the ungodliness, and those that were, quite frankly, just against the God of the Israelite nation. He had to do this to clear a path so that his people could be worshiping him. The second thing is he also wanted to be known in the nations. See, part of the message given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 is that his name would be known to all the nations. He would be a blessing. Abraham would be a blessing to all the nations because of his faithfulness, but because of what God was going to do. And this was part of that story. So I can't wait to dive into this a little bit deeper on Sunday. But that is where we're going to go. But for this episode this week, I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into being salt and light. You know, there was some major world events that happened this past weekend when a presidential candidate was attempted to be assassinated. And I'm not going to get into politics and I'm not going to dive into right versus left and all of that. But it reminded me that we as believers, when we live in this world, we will be watched. We will be watched when we respond to world events, especially ones as divisive as political events. And yes, while I hope that no one wanted this man to be killed, I also realized that there was a man who did, in fact, get killed. And so this is very politically charged. This is very divisive in so many ways in the sense that how we respond is scrutinized. Well, let me remind you, as we read last week in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13, we see that it says, Jesus says, you are to be salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, you put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in your house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So then that just begs the question, how do we respond in these moments? How do we respond when things are so politically charged in our country that believers are under scrutiny, just like everybody else? In fact, it feels like sometimes the very world is against us. And then I remember that that's exactly the case. Sin runs rampant in this world. How we respond in difficult times will speak a lot to the heart of the matter. And speaking of the heart of the matter, I was reminded as I was reading just a few verses before this verses I just read was the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus starts out this sermon by talking about these things that sometimes we call the Beatitudes or how we ought to live. And I want to read them to you. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 5, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you." See, I was reminded that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we enter, and I enter into a hostile world every single day. And I'm going to run into the evil one rearing his ugly head in multiple ways in my life. I'm going to run into sometimes people who, quite frankly, just don't agree with me on any number of topics. But I'm reminded that how I respond in those moments of truth are going to speak volumes to how well I am following Jesus in my personal life. Now, I'm not saying I don't ever get angry, because those who know me realize that that does happen. But I strive every single day to try to respond in those moments with not only the truth, but the love of Jesus. And I want to always point others back to Jesus. That's what it said, after all, wasn't it? "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you." It seems very contradictory, doesn't it? Blessed am I when they insult me, or blessed am I when I have, you know, maybe a different opinion and people come down on me because of my beliefs in Jesus. But I want to remember this. What is the reason for why I have hope? What motivates me? What is my message to be about? Well, this week, we also looked at these verses from 1 Peter, and I thought they were worth reminding you. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given me a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you will have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. They have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." See, my hope is that in these difficult times, as we have debates and conversations about political matters and any myriad of things, that we would be able to do this with this in mind. See, my heart breaks for the brokenness that I see in this world every single day. It breaks for the people that cross my path that don't know Him. But does it motivate me to actually stand up and be the salt and the light that I'm called to be? Does my reliance in this hope that is eternal life in Christ Jesus, that cannot be taken away from me no matter what happens in this world, does that motivate me to want to reach others with the love of Jesus? See, there's many problems that are presented during this time of the year when we enter into a presidential election. There's many worldly problems that are pointed out, and we certainly should be a part of the solution in helping people through this. But ultimately, the biggest problem that we have in this world is those that are far from Jesus, that don't know Him as Lord and Savior. So what are we to do? Well, my mind goes immediately to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and says this, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and all this from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciled to the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against Him, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So how are we to respond? Well, we look at the individual in front of us and remember that they are created in the image of God. They are valuable. They have worth because God created them. And at that moment, regardless of what the hot beat topic is, we have to always keep in mind that our message and our ministry is that of reconciliation. So whenever possible, we speak with love, we speak with understanding, and sometimes we listen a lot more than we speak. And we also look at the views and the topics that are in front of us, and no matter what's happening, we look at it through the lens of Scripture. What does God's Word tell us about this topic? So I hope this message finds you well. I hope it encourages you, gives you the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And if you have that hope, then that should motivate us to love those around us. And as we do, speak truth and love, and we become the salt and the light of the world, remember that we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and how we conduct ourselves is important. And ultimately, our goal is to bring reconciliation and restoration into people's lives, because we could solve all the world's problems, but if we never address someone's standing with Christ, we have failed. So let us be motivated to be the salt and the light. Let us be motivated to be slow to speak and quick to listen, and let us be motivated by the love of Jesus Christ in our own lives, and let us follow that example as we go out into this world, because we are indeed his messengers. The question is, what are we saying?
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.